Did you understand what I was trying to tell you? You know, it's very easy for any one of us to make a mistake. It's very easy for any one of us to interpret the word incorrectly, to find something and it just jumps out to us and it blesses us, and we kind of interpret it out of context. And you know what? I believe the Lord understands that. But when we do it on an ongoing basis, we start to bring deception into the church. We just start to bring deception upon God's people. And that's a very slippery road to be on for ourselves and for the people that are hearing it. Does that make sense?
I'm seeing some very serious looking faces here this morning.
But the message I have this morning is a very serious message. It's called Attack from Within. Attack from Within. And when I talk about attack from within, I'm speaking about attack from within, not just your brain. It was the best picture I could find. But attack from within the church. Okay? Attack from within the body of Christ. Last week, Pastor Dave spoke to us about from 2 Peter chapter 1. Do you remember it? About the progression of our faith. What happens? We must add to our faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. I'll remind myself here. To self-control, patient endurance. To patient endurance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love, charity. There's a progression of faith. We can't stay just where we got born again. And he told us, and he taught us in a way that said, it's actually our responsibility. I can't, as your pastor, make you or force you to go from faith to the progressed place where you're walking in love. And love is the motive. You've got to do that for yourself. I can help you. I can teach you. I can pray for you. I can encourage you. But at the end of the day, it's your own personal responsibility. I carried on reading because I went back there on Monday. I was intrigued by the message. I thought, well, let me go and read it again. And I studied it. And then I carried on reading into verse 2. Because he preached out of chapter 1. But then as I was preparing this message, I also read up on 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So now today we're talking about 2 Peter. Last week we spoke about 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll preach on 2 Peter chapter 2 today. But I want to tell you, what is 1 Peter about? Peter was writing to the church. How could this man that walked with Jesus and that was so gung-ho that he would do all these funny things and jump to conclusions, how could he become an amazing shepherd? He became a shepherd, you know that. And his shepherd heart comes out in these two letters. He writes to the people in a beautiful way. And he encourages them. And he rebukes them. And he helps them. And he teaches them. He says, I am concerned about your spiritual well-being. So 1 Peter and 2 Peter have some very interesting contrasts. 1 Peter was written to encourage the people and comfort them because they were fairly new to the faith. And what had happened is persecution had come upon the church. And they were struggling. And he encouraged them, endure persecution. Run the race till you finish it. Endure it. It was attacked from the outside. The persecution was easy to identify. It came from the outside. It came from those outside the church. Who knows that right now the church is experiencing an attack from the outside? Legislation has been approved or a court case was passed this week, which is going to literally, I think, take Christianity out of our schools. I mean, there's an attack from the outside. Okay. But 2 Peter speaks about attack from within. It speaks, he's writing to a church that has now matured a bit. And that's why he said, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control. Sorry, I'm battling with post-nasal dripping. And as I get excited, my throat gets itchy. I can't even cover it, it's hitting too well. Excuse me. So it speaks about attack from within the church. It's a much more dangerous form of attack because it's not so easy to identify. And I started to focus on it earlier on when I read out that daily encouragement that got sent. Much more dangerous. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Pastor Dave spoke about last week, it speaks about maturity to be attained, growing from one area of faith to another area of faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks about a morality that needs to be maintained. See, it doesn't help that we just mature. We need to maintain our Christian morality. And of course, the enemy hates a church that is growing in that Christian morality, and he will do whatever he can to break it down. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give life, and that in abundance. That is what God's plan is for us as a church. But the enemy will do whatever he can to break down from the inside. Because when we see from the attack from the outside, we can see it, identify, and pray about it. And I trust you are praying for your country. And you are praying about those identifiable threats from the outside. But I want to open your eyes today to the threat on the inside, which is so much more dangerous. The threat is false prophets and destructive doctrines. Jesus stated in Matthew 24 that at the end of the age, false Christs and false prophets will rise up. It says, in the last days, they will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In this chapter, he mentions the word deceive or deceives 4 times. Who knows we're at the end of the age? Who knows if you look at the signs that Jesus spoke about, they're all there. All that remains is for the trumpet to sound. And the church to be taken away. And then there'll be the time of great tribulation. This deception that I'm speaking about didn't start yesterday. It started way back in Peter's day when he was writing to the church. 2 Peter, have you got your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 to 3. I don't hear too many Bibles going. Come on, let's turn our Bibles. You better check that I'm not deceiving you this morning. And as I said earlier, church, I'm not beyond making a mistake. But when I do it on an ongoing basis, I'm bringing error into the church. I'm bringing heresy into the church. And I'm leading you. You know what? Even this morning, I read an article about deception. The whole hyper grace message. You know, if a plane takes off here at Outamba and it's heading to Durban, if he's just half a degree out, he's going to land in Margate. It's the same thing with your faith. If the enemy can just slightly twist your faith, where are you going to be at the end? That's exactly what he wants to do. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3. But there will also be false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them out and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. Sure, I'm reading badly. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways. Many will follow their destructive ways. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Sure, that's a tough warning. Their destruction has not been idle, and it won't sleep. They will be destroyed. Let me summarize that. False prophets and teachers will be found among the people. That was then. Let me tell you, it's 10 times worse today. Go and switch on your TV and watch Faith TV, God TV. You'll find them there. They would secretly. What's secretly mean? It means without people knowing, in a hidden way, they will bring in false doctrines. They will bring it, I read it this morning, they will bring it so that it sounds perfect. It seems to be right, but it's going to be wrong. It's just a subtle change. You know what happens? As I was reading up, it says when there's too much of a focus on one little thing, And the grace message is a good example of that. Too much focus just on grace, 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 grace. Everything else falls out the window. You've got to have a balanced overview of the Word of God. You've got to travel in the middle of the road. We ride on bicycles often. Motorists hate us, okay? Because we're supposed to be on the side of the road. Do you know what you find on the side of the road? Potholes, stones, pieces of glass. The cars ride over the stuff and it gets chucked all to the side. Let me tell you, if you ride on the side, you're going to get a puncture, you're going to fall, you're going to hurt yourself. We need to take the middle of the road when it comes to the gospel. Don't lean off to the side with every wind of doctrine that starts to blow. Are you with me, church? Can I hear an amen? This is a serious message. It could impact your eternity. Can I hear an amen? No, man, I want to hear an amen. That's more like a dase. All right, I need you to sit up and take notice. Secret destructive doctrines. They would deny the Lord and blaspheme the way of truth. That's the teachings. They would exploit the people with deceptive words. Words that sound good, but that aren't good. And it will lead to judgment. How do you defeat those that have got God on their side? Do you have God on your side? Can I see who's got God on their side here in the church? I should see every single hand here. How do you defeat those that have got God on their side? Well, we know the story well. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22 to 24, we read about King Balak, the king of Moab. They were the enemies of the Israelites. And he employed a prophet. His name was Balaam, a diviner from Mesopotamia. And he came to manipulate God so that he would curse Israel. But who knows that God loves his people? And every time that Balaam came and he wanted to try and pronounce a curse on the people of Israel, a blessing would come out instead. Who knows that? Have you read it? Am I telling the truth? And instead of cursing Israel, he would curse the enemies. So the more that Balak, that king, wanted Israel to be cursed, the more he became cursed. Amen. Balaam was a bit doff though. Okay, God even spoke to him through the donkey. But Balaam didn't turn from his wicked way and go the way of the Israelites. He carried on. And eventually, he went back to King Balak and said, I've got a plan. Because he was a prophet of God. He knew God is a just God. He knew that God will not accept idolatry. He knew that God is a just God and he will not accept sexual sin. So he said, I know what we're going to do. And you know what they did? They went to the Moabite woman and they said, you woman, you go in amongst the men of Israel and you entice them and you offer them all the nice things men like. Come on, that was supposed to be funny. It's a serious man. You come and offer them with all your female womanly wiles. And you say, if you will worship the gods of Moab, we will give you exactly what you want. And you know what the men of Israel did? They did exactly what those women offered them. They deceived them. Balaam said, if we can get these people to sin, if we can get them to turn away from God and start worshipping other idols, if we can get them to commit sexual sin, God will bring judgment on Israel. And then the one that is protecting them from us will take his hand off of them and God will judge them. And they'll be destroyed. And that's what happened. All the people, they started worshipping that God was Baal Peor. They started worshipping. A sickness broke out in the camp. And all those people died. God judged the Israelites. So Balaam got his way. In Numbers 31, verse 16, it says this. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Do you know that the spirit of Balaam is alive and well today? It's a spirit of deception. It's a spirit of lies. It's a spirit of deceiving God's people into the wrong way. You know what the enemy wants you to do? He wants to bring you out under God's blessing to a place where either you're under God's judgment or into a place where you're weak and enemy can have his way and curse you. Who wants that? None of us. That's why we need to be awake. That's why we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. Spirit of deception, I'll put in brackets here, spirit of compromise. Who's got compromise in their lives this morning? That same spirit is referred to in Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 12 to 17, it says this, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who is a sharp two-edged sword." I'll stop right there. What is the sharp two-edged sword? It's the Word of God. Okay. The angels have the Word of God. The truth. The truth that people are twisting. The angels have the truth. They understand it the way it's meant to be understood. It says, "I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is." Who knows we dwell in a place where Satan's throne is? Come on, Krugersdorp, go for a walk up here. Leopard Street, Silverite Street, to the drug den across the road here. Yeah, across the road from the church. We live in Satan's den. And we do good works here. We are a church of irresistible influence. That is why God has placed us here. He said, go to those people and say, "And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days when Antipas was a faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you." He says, you're doing well, but I've got a few things against you. "Because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam." What is the doctrine of Balaam? Compromise. Deception. "Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. To eat things," here we go again, "sacrificed to idols. And to commit sexual immorality." A stumbling block. Worshipping idols and sexual immorality. The spirit of Balak. Or Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. It's a stumbling block to God's people. That stumbling block is compromise, church. Interesting that same stumbling block was what Balaam used. Idol worship, you're eating food, sacrificed idol. That doesn't mean that you can't go and eat the halal butter and da 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 da. What I'm saying is if you know it's been sacrificed to an idol and you eat it knowing that you're eating food sacrificed to idols and you take it, you're worshipping that foreign god. Okay? We pray over our stuff. We'll say, that's why you need to say grace, church. You need to bless that food and say, "I'm not eating it in the name of Muhammad. I'm eating it in the name of Jesus. God provided it for me. Are you with me?" So please don't think I'm telling you that you're eating food sacrificed to idols when it's got the halal sign on it. I'm not. That's why we say grace. Everything is blessed. God gave it to us. Sexual sin. There are so many different sexual sins. We focus in on homosexuality. It's a mistake the church makes. Homosexuality is just one of the forms of sexual sin that's around us. There's a lot of sexual sin going on around us. Deviance. Bestiality. S&M. Who knows what S&M is? The pastor's not even supposed to mention those words from that pulpit. Eh? All sorts of sexual deviation. My first challenge to you is this today. Are there areas in your life where you've begun to compromise your faith? Is there some form of idol worship? Is there sexual sin going on in your life? I tried to minister to you about idol worship this morning. I know I might be stepping on your toes. I'm going to say it in any case. If that cigarette is more important to you than God, it's an idol. Amen? I'm not just picking on the people that smoke. If your food that you eat causing you can't live without it, it's an idol. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying fat people have got idols. I'm saying if it controls you. If that pain tablet that you're taking, if you can't go a day without it, has it become an idol in your life? Are you with me? There's lots of idols in our lives, okay? There's lots of idols. We're very quick to judge. We mustn't judge people. We must judge ourselves. Are there idols in your lives? What about the world we live in? The way it carries on about how Christians are bigots because they take God's word for what it says instead of saying, no, homosexuality is great. No, abortion is great. No, this thing's great. No, that thing's great. Why? Because the world accepts it. It sounds good, but it's not all true. That's my next kind of chapter I'm going into. With all the deception, there's an amount of truth involved, but it's mixed with enough falsehood to make it dangerous doctrine, the doctrine of Balaam. Too much emphasis, I spoke about earlier, on in one area, or not taking Scripture in its context, as I explained to you earlier on, and not comparing it with the rest of Scripture, is where deception starts. How are you going to protect yourself from that? You've got to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to get to know God's Word. I read that encouragement. Something feels wrong here. I read it again and again and again. And finally, I started to understand, hang on a second, yeah, alles is nie reg nie. Are you with me? The first time you heard it, you thought it was great. Amen. Okay, so did I. Then I read it again. Because just something in me said, uh-uh. We need to be like that church. There were two beliefs that were changed by the false teachers referred to in 2 Peter chapter 2. Is this interesting to you? We are getting into the meat of the word today. This is serious teaching. Amen? Are you still with me? They denied Christ. It says in 2 verse 1, even denying the Master. In other words, some people were denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They ridiculed the promise in verses 3 and chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. They ridiculed the promise of His return. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? If you know the world that we live in, the Christian world that we live in, some prominent preachers are now preaching Chrislam. Hey? A combination of Islam and Christianity. Whether you believe in Muhammad, you go to heaven. Whether you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. What does the Word of God say? There's only one way. There's only one way. Jesus. But prominent guys. Then you go, you switch on your television, and you listen, yes, and you feel so good because of what they're saying. And all it is motivational speak. Where's the Word of God? People follow them in the droves, full football fields. Others get carried away with a combination of Christianity and Judaism. They call themselves Judeo-Christians or Messianic believers. You can only name Jesus by His Jewish name. You've got to wear a yarmulke. You've got to pray under a prayer shawl. They bring themselves back under the law. We saw beautiful, beautiful Christian couple, broken up, separated. The guy had been freed from homosexuality, went back into it. Why? Because he felt his sin was too great. He felt he'd messed up so badly he couldn't come back. Where's grace? You see, subtly, 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 it sounds good. But the end takes people away from Christ. Amen. Can I hear an amen? I'm not saying all of that is wrong. What I'm saying is there's a point that you can get into in that stuff where it will bring you back under the law that Jesus Christ freed you from. Then there's Jesus-only teachers. They believe Jesus, Father, God, and the Holy Spirit. We believe it too. The Trinity. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They believe they're all one. So all you have to do is confess Jesus. They baptize in the name of Jesus. But where's Jesus seated right now? At the right hand of the Father. So surely Him and the Father, even though they're one, are two separate beings. Where's the Holy Spirit right now? Yeah. Okay. So if Jesus is one, then Father can't be on the throne right now because Jesus is here with us. You understand what I'm saying? False teaching, false doctrine. Then there's church leaders who believe in multi-faith and not just Chrislam, but they say all roads lead to God. Catholic, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, they all serve God. We all serve the same God. Lies from within the church. Be careful. It's subtle. It'll pull you down. My question to you, my second challenge to you is, how well do you know God's word? Is your only source of knowledge of God what others have to say? Your daily encouragement that you get in your email box? I also send one out. Okay? Seriously, these people sitting here, you won't admit it to me, but that is your quiet time. You get your daily encouragement, you read it through, and that's your quiet time clock. Be careful. Be careful. Go to God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. Then go and read that encouragement. See if it ties up with God's Word. And if it encourages you, great. Use it. Let it be a blessing. But if you're using that in your quiet time, let me tell you, you are falling short. People buy... I know I'm stepping on toes this morning, and I don't apologize. People buy these, I want to write one. I want to write a devotional, 365. I've got enough. I've got 500 pages of encouragements. I can turn it into 3 years' worth of encouragements. People buy them. That's all they use. It's got one verse of scripture in it, and man's word. Okay? Remember, I write them myself. I send them out daily myself. But if that's all you're using, you are on slippery ground, church. You better get back to your Bible. You better start reading your Bible with a heart that inquires after God, Lord, help me to understand your word. Sorry if I've stepped on your toes this morning. But it's the truth. You will be deceived. There's people who sit in front of the television. They say, I've got all these great preachers. And in amongst it are these seeds of deception. In amongst it. Because you're not reading your Bible. Amen. You know what? I need you to come back next week, okay? The church needs to grow. But the Lord spoke to me right at the beginning. He said, do not be a respecter of man. Do not try and please man. Church, you need to open your eyes. And I know that I might be ruffling some feathers here this morning. Be careful. I don't hate these other guys. The word of God says, you should not, what's the word? Don't despise the Lord's anointed. Okay? I'm not here to trample on people. I make mistakes. I've probably done it, yeah? Correct me. Have a debate with me. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. A lot of what they preach is good. The Word of God says test every word. Let's test it. Take what's good. Let the rest go. Amen. I'll tell you the teachings of this guy that I read from this morning. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. Revelation. But in amongst it, barbs and thorns. Be careful. I'm crying to you as your pastor. Be careful. Yes, they've got full churches. So what? The people are deceived. How many of them spend time in the Word? How many of them jump from one scripture to the next, and I'll just choose this verse, and I'll choose that verse, instead of reading the full passage? I'm too lazy to go and read the full passage in my quiet time. I'd rather just read a verse. And I'll pick up this verse that I love, and then, wait on the Lord, they shall rise up on wings and eagle, they will soar. Yeah, I like that one. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I like that one. Be careful of the deceivers! Amen. Right. Read the Word of God. Study it. Get yourself a book. Go and get yourself a Bible with a commentary. Get two Bibles. I've got the ESV I'm reading at the moment. I can tell you right now that Bible's not accurate. But I read it because I love it. I love the way the words come together. And there's my old King James that Pastor Pat gave me the day that I was ordained. Sometimes you've got to read it 5 times before you can understand the these and thous. And then I go into the commentary, and I'll even, believe it or not, open the internet and research it. Yes, that's how deep we have to go. That way you won't be deceived. But if you just open the internet, you've got a problem, okay? Because you're going to find everything you're looking for, and some more. They had a sentimental view. This is the second fault that they made. They had a sentimental view on the grace of God. They believed it didn't matter how you lived. Because you were no longer under law, but under grace. Who believes that? You're no longer under law, but under grace. It says that in the Word, doesn't it? Okay? The same view is widely proclaimed and practiced. I'm reading my notes here today. People use selective scriptures to justify. I've just spoken about selective scriptures. They justify a compromised grace teaching and choose to ignore what the rest of God's word has to say. It's known as hyper-grace. Okay? And I'm not going to preach about grace. It's too much. Okay? Such a view leads to an anything-goes attitude and corrupts Christian. What am I talking about today? Christian morality. Anything goes. I can sin, I'm under the blood, I've got grace, I'm no longer under the law. And you know what? I don't even have to confess my sins. I don't even have to ask for forgiveness because the blood of Jesus covers me. He paid the price for my sins. It's done. It's clear. It was sealed on Calvary. No. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive me as I forgive those who sinned against me. 1 John 1 verse 9, what does it say? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and restore you to all righteousness. So I still have to confess my sins, even though I'm under grace. Amen. Are you seeing the subtlety? The lies of the devil. He'll bring it in. And you know, because it's so easy to sin and get away with it. And there's no consequence. I'm under grace. I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm perfect. I'm great. I know that I'm under grace. I praise the Lord. I've got faith. Hallelujah. And I sin the next time. And oh, it's okay. I'm under grace. And I sin the next time. And all of a sudden, my sins start coming. One after the... And the next thing, I'm living a life of sin. But I'm under grace and I'm going to heaven. Rubbish! Rubbish! If you're going to live a life of sin, you're controlled by the flesh. You're controlled by the world. You're not controlled and led by the Spirit. You are a sinner and you're going to hell. Sure,
he's not preaching grace this morning.
I asked the Lord to give me the words to say, okay, they're not in my notes. God will always be concerned with how we live as Christians. He will always hold us accountable. We will stand before the Lord one day and give an account for our lives. But the sneaky underlying sneer of deception is based on destructive ways, and it will lead to the great white throne judgment where our sins will be judged and then we'll be cast into hell. Noah's da niya amen. It's the truth. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 to 11 says this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and God did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those afterwards who would live ungodly. Who are those who live after? You and me. They're an example to you and me. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. When last were you tormented by the sin that you saw? When last did you switch off a television program because you couldn't bear the sin that you saw in it? I am guilty, church, of this same bad, disgusting behavior. Watch stuff I shouldn't watch. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Yes, I've got grace. I will walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise the blood of Jesus. Those were my own words. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring reviling accusation against them before the Lord. The angels rebelled against God, the sin of pride. They were cast down. The world in the time of Noah, in Genesis 6 verse 11 to 12 says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and filled with violence. It sounds like the world of today. And God saw the earth and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. However, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The lust of the eyes, okay? Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 18, it says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. It doesn't say because of the outcry against homosexuality. It says it was because their sin is very grave. We assume it was in homosexuality, but the reality was that that was not the only sin there. There was grave sin there. Their sin was sensuality, the lust of the flesh. 2 Peter 2 verse 10, it says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Too many Christians have been deceived into believing that this kind of sin is okay because of God's grace. They have acceptance of sin shoved down their throats, even by the constitution of South Africa and by society, and they've become to accept it. They've been battered and bruised. They've fallen for the deception that is in the world today. Church, I'm almost done. I know this is a heavy message. Go and read what people say about Angus Buchan. Who loves Angus Buchan? Can I see? Go and just do a quick search. The first thing you pick up, if you search Angus Buchan on the internet, you read commentary about the fact that he's homophobic and he's sexual. Sexual. Sorry. No. They say he's a bigot, he's homophobic, and he's sexist. Not sexual. Sexist. Why? Because like me this morning, he's choosing to preach the word of God as it is written. He's not a homophobe. He says, I love people, I hate the sin. Amen? That's you and I. We don't hate homosexuals. There may be homosexuals sitting here today. We love them. We hate the sin of homosexuality. God is able to deliver us. I hate the sin of sexual immorality. But I love the sinner because Jesus loved him first and gave himself for him. Amen. Amen. And Angus Buchan is exactly the same. He just takes what it says and he says it. No, he's a homophobe and he's a sexist and he's a bigot. So are you, just by the way, if you believe the word of God. I don't hear too many amens there. I want to ask you this final question. How much have we backed off? How much compromise is in our lives? How much sin are we comfortable with? God is calling us to repentance. There is a price to pay. 2 Peter 2 verse 9 says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. God can deliver us, but he can also reserve us for the day of punishment. Which one are we going to choose? God rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, and it led on to that next scripture. Let us not slip into compromise, church. Let us remain sick of the same shameful immorality that we see around us. Let us remain righteous even when tormented by the sin that we see around us. And when we feel we're slipping, let us remember that the Lord knows how to rescue us from temptation, from deception, and he will keep us as his righteous ones. So, my challenge to you is this morning, open your eyes, know God's word, spend time in the word, come to church, yes, read your devotions, make sure it all works together, and the one thing confirms the other. But the ultimate source is not what I say, it's what God's word says. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to also challenge you. If you feel that compromise has slipped into your life, I will be greeting everybody at the door, but I'll come back here. Let me pray for you. Or if you come and stand in front here, one of our leaders, Conrad and Erica, can come. Cheryl can come. Somebody else can come and pray with you. Frank and Lorena in front here, they can come and pray with you. If you feel you've slipped into compromise, if you feel that there's deception and that you've been just going around down the wrong path, you can come forward. If you need to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, come forward. Commit your heart to Jesus. And again, I pray for those that are bound in addiction. Come forward. Let us pray for you. God will free you today. So let us just close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to give me time to get to the back there. Father, we just want to thank you today that you speak to those that you love, you correct those that you love, and you guard us. You're a good shepherd. Father, my heart's desire is to be a good shepherd too. So Lord, whether I've ruffled feathers this morning. Where thou spoken truths that have made people uncomfortable, so be it, Lord. It's not my heart's desire to hurt or bully or to drive anybody in a way that is not your way. I want to minister in love, Lord. So I pray that people will see your heart and my heart in this message that has come out this morning and receive it, that eyes will be open where people have been subject to deception. Lord, open their eyes and bring them free. Make us free as a people, even me. Lord, if I've written stuff in the daily encouragements that I write that is deceptions and not true, I pray, forgive me. Help me to make it right. Pray for each one of us, Lord. Help us to endure, to make it through, not to be deceived, even as many of the elect will be deceived. Keep us from that deception. We plead the blood of Jesus over us. We commit today into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.